keys. We want to talk about keys. If you lock your old house up all real tight and everything, and you lose your keys and you go home, what's going to happen? You can't get in, right? Just that simple. A lot, that analogy is used basically in both spiritual as well as an analogy of authority, because kind of the keeper of the keys, if you don't have one, you kind of want to know the old boy that's got one, okay? Because I must admit, right here at the beginning, I had a question this past week. I can't even remember from what part of the country it was. Where is it written in the Bible that St. Peter is the one that lets people in and out the gates of heaven? And of course, my answer was that it was basically traditions of men that painted that actually it was still the Father that kind of says who comes and who goes. And then I got to thinking about that. I thought, what a beautiful opportunity to teach a lesson on how people can fool themselves if they're not careful, if they don't go deep enough into the Word of God. And the whole point being, you can miss the key. That's very serious. That you could miss the whole trip, quite frankly, if you listen to too many traditions. In other words, you might start trying to make up to St. Peter instead of the Lord Jesus Christ. Well, I'm sure that Peter would understand, but that still would not, if you were counting on Peter, would mean coming out the gate, you didn't know, come here from Sikkim about God's Word. And therefore, you would have done nothing to have the authority to place your hand on that key. That's what would turn you out. So, we're going to look at the various keys of the Bible today. We ask always a word of wisdom from our Father. Open your Bibles, if you would, to the great book of St. Luke. And let's go to the 11th chapter. Let's kind of build a platform here concerning the keys and who might have them. And in Luke chapter 11, verse 52, we read there, and this is Christ teaching, "Woe unto you lawyers." Now, you all know what a scripture lawyer is, don't you? This is not a lawyer like you've got down here on the corner with his shingle out and trying to get unhappy couples to come in and let him arrange a quickie divorce or something of that nature. We're talking about a preacher, teacher type that is a scripture lawyer. All right? "Woe unto you lawyers, for you have taken away the key of knowledge." And that's very important. "You have taken away the key of knowledge. You entered not in yourselves, and them that were entering in ye hindered." How can a scripture lawyer hinder you? By teaching, by pulling out things that are not pertinent to God's Word, by trying to make a religion out of phenomena, or whatever, to blind you toward the Word of God. Example, you've got people that will make a religion out of UFOs. They're not unidentified to God. They're well documented and written in God's Word. And you've got a lot of people trying to lead you to believe that God deals in duck men and crab face and all these types of pictures and movies that they show, of various monsters from another dimension. I hope you've studied God's Word long enough that you know there are not any little big round-eyed, very white-looking little creatures about this tall that people see or think they see. It's strictly a figment of their imagination. You know from God's Word, and stop listening to the lawyers, because they'll take that key away from you, because your knowledge will fly south when you're headed north, because you'll get yourself all cloaked up in nonsense when just a little common sense can straighten the entire thing out. Number one, what's the beginning of knowledge? All right? Now, don't turn there, but make a note. Proverbs chapter 1, verse 7. The beginning of knowledge is to revere the Lord God. Because if you do, you're going to study His Word, not some nuts writings, okay? And a sinner will not, a fool will not listen to wisdom. I'm still trying to quote from the 7th verse of 1 Proverbs. Will not listen to knowledge or wisdom. So, are you a fool? If you are, maybe you believe there's little men about this tall, you know? But what did God tell you? Elohim, let us make man in our image. Now, I could tell you from another source of authorities, there are none of them there. There's nothing like that in heaven or on earth. And I know it's a figment of people's imagination listening to traditions. What did God tell you again? Who are you going to listen to? God said, let us make man in our image. Well, look at each other. Anytime, you know, when the daughters of Adam saw those creatures that came down that weren't supposed to, they weren't little old bitty, two-bit, dreamed-up, wide-eyed, fossil-looking creatures. They thought they were hunks. They liked them. Why? They looked like we do, only in the spiritual, with perfection. So, hey, you're in the final generation, and God expects you to be wise and to believe Him. I don't know. I don't care what you believe, quite frankly. After I've washed my hands of it, you can believe in the horny toad God if you want to, that deceived some people back in Long Dong Po. I won't tell you about that place, but I've been there. But anyway, pay attention to your father. It's so easy to get sidetracked. I think people love, like Paul said, you swallow it up hook, line, and sinker. Don't let some scripture lawyer take away your key to knowledge. All it takes is one or two little stumbling blocks put in your mind, and whatever you read, you're going to skip over it. It's not going to click. Why? You're believing fairy tales, or giving credit to fairy tales. Be responsible and be mature. Okay, so there we dealt with the key of knowledge. Let's go to Matthew chapter 16. Let's take another key here. And basically this is where the tradition started concerning Peter at the pearly gates. Peter standing there letting this one through and then another. This is where it started. This is what it's based on. But you have more knowledge than that. Number one, because you've got a better teacher than some people do, the Lord Jesus Christ. And you listen to the Lord Jesus Christ through His Word. I know what you thought I was going to say, but you know me better than that. His Word gives us that wisdom. All right? Verse 17 of that great 16th chapter. Hey, this is where it all started when man doesn't know what he's talking about. 17, and Jesus answered. Remember, to set the stage, this is where Jesus is at. What are they saying I am? What do you say I am? And Peter had just named him as the Son of Jesus Christ, the Son of the living God. And he says, 17, and Jesus answered and said unto him, blessed art thou, Simon Bar-Jonah, son of the dove, which is Holy Spirit. For flesh and blood hath not revealed it unto thee, but my Father which is in heaven. That's a clear statement. Now, 18. And I say unto thee, that thou art Peter, that's Petra, the rock. And upon this rock, but this is a different rock. Christ is this rock. In the Greek, one of them you can move, the other you can't. The one that is Christ can't be moved, all right? I will build my church, and the gates, you've got to have a key to these, okay? The gates of hell shall not prevail against it. There's no way. There's no way that the key to the gate of hell can prevail against someone that has the key of knowledge and the keys of the kingdom. No way. You don't even have to consider it or be concerned about it. Verse 19. And I will give unto thee the keys of the kingdom of heaven. And whatsoever thou shalt bind on earth shall be bound in heaven. And whatsoever thou shalt loose on earth shall be loosed in heaven. Now, this is where it starts. And this is where some people would say, well, yes, God gave Peter and the church the way to judge men or forgive men. And, of course, the difference lies in keyless and keylo. The word means key, all right? And the prime root is kind of to shut. But to bind and loose is in the Greek is a judicial term. If we call, you know what judicial is, that means that's the law, and you have the right to teach that law or commandment. What you might say, and we could put it perhaps in a different way, that the key is the authority to pronounce judgment. And I said authority to pronounce judgment on unbelievers and to promise forgiveness to believers. Or we could even say that it's the power of the keys is authority in the dispensing of the word of grace and judgment. And that's all. It doesn't give any man the right to judge someone to hell. It simply means that you are to take the word of God and judicially administer it, warning people they're going to hell if they don't do certain things. That is to say, follow the very simple path and the simplicity in which Christ taught it. So you can understand here how that someone unlearned could take this and say, oh, the Bible says it. St. Peter's right there, and he can judge whether you're going in and out. Well, anybody that's ever studied the Great White Throne Judgment knows Peter doesn't really have all that much to do with it, all right? Well, he can tell them whether they can get into the White Throne. Come on. So, the Greek is very specific. It is not authority to judge, but judicially speaking, to dispense the Word of God, warning believers and unbelievers the outcome thereof. To the believer, grace. That's to say, unmerited favor that on forgiveness, on repentance, you're forgiven your sins. And to the unbeliever, God's Word, which states, if you follow Satan, the deceiver, you will follow him all the way right into the lake of fire. That's what it means. So don't ever let anyone, don't let some scripture lawyer take from you the key of knowledge whereby you would lose the sense that we're only speaking here in a judicial sense. Perhaps I oversimplified that. I hope that's coming through with the severity and responsibility is tremendous to the church to see that this is done. Doesn't make it any less, but it doesn't make Peter God either. Peter's not the one sitting on the great white throne. The Lord Jesus Christ, our Father, if you've seen the Son, you've seen the Father. So here we see that you've got the keys to the kingdom, but how did you acquire that? Through the Holy Spirit, because the keys to the kingdom is simply to do that is right, and you're going in as best you can, mainly repenting. Christ, the teacher, the stater of this fact, is going to pay the price that gives you that key, or allows the keeper of that gate, which is Christ, to put you in. Now, we have other keys. Revelation chapter 1, verse 18 is a very interesting key, I feel. Christ himself hangs on to this one. He doesn't give it to anyone else. Is it that he doesn't trust us with that? No, I don't think any of us would necessarily want that responsibility. But we read of that key in the first chapter of Revelation. You know, this is Christ speaking, and he's speaking concerning the churches. Verse 18, he states, and he says, I am he that liveth and was dead, supposedly crucified, and behold, I am alive forevermore. We've got eternal life. That's what it means. Amen. That means, amen in a sense means, if I may be a little bold in saying it, and that's that. You know, I like amen because so many people think it's so holy. Amen, brother. It means we read a scripture and that's that. Okay? But they have a way of saying, amen, brother. You know, amen, amen. You know, that's that. Okay? Anyway, you know, it's a sweet saying. Don't take away from it. Languages are so beautiful. Now, digression, you bet. After the amen, and have the keys of hell and of death. So here we got a different set of keys. Who and what death are we talking about, first of all? We're not talking about the first death. We're talking about the second death. That's the death of the soul. And the scripture is written in the great book of Matthew, fear not those that can kill your flesh body, but rather fear he who can cause your soul to perish rather than have eternal life. In other words, he spoke and nothing became everything, and he can speak and something can become zip. That's his key. But don't ever forget that he has it. And don't ever forget that he will use it. And you don't ever have to worry about it falling in the wrong hands, because he doesn't turn that over to anyone. Not even as the seventh trump is sounded, because back in verse 10 of this same chapter, he's already taken us to the Lord's day. I'll say that again. In the 10th verse of this first chapter, he's already taken us to the Lord's day, and he wasn't talking about some Sunday. It was the day the Lord returns, that we could see all these things before and after that day. So, that's comforting to know that he himself possesses that key of death, because you're not going to get it unless you deserve it. All right? So nobody can trick you. Nobody can, you know, some people like to say, well, I was all right, but so-and-so made me do it. Hey, that won't cut it with our Father, okay? No excuses, please. Be man or woman enough or child enough to stand up and take what you got coming, okay? He knows, and he is fair, and that's exactly the way it's going to be. But he went through so much to buy that key of death, the victory over it, because he conquered it. That's why he would say earlier in that same verse, who was dead. Because in conquering that into eternal life, He defeated it. And through Him, so can you. The key of death and hell. Hell, as it is used here, is Hades. And most scholars would say, well, this is the holding place of the departed saints. Or not exactly saints, all right? It's kind of those that are over on that side of the gulf, as Christ would use in the analogy of Luke 16 between Lazarus and the rich man. Now, I think we've covered that key. Don't forget, He's got it. He's not going to let anybody else have it. But He's not afraid to use it. Now, let's go. There's a key also to the pit. Hey, it's extremely important to you that you know who has the key to that pit, because basically that determines whether it's evil spirits that can roam the earth or de jure Satan himself can. You think that's not important to you? Of course it is. Revelation chapter 9, verse 1. Revelation 9:1, and it reads, "And the fifth angel sounded," naturally this is the fifth seal, "and I saw a star fall from heaven unto the earth." What is Lucifer in the Greek? Star, bright star. Some people call the morning star, only it's the fake morning star. "And to him was given the key," there you got it, "the key of the bottomless pit." So, yep, we got a key to the bottomless pit. And spiritually speaking, it's important to you. Because what can that key do? Verse 2. "And he opened the bottomless pit, and there arose a smoke out of the pit." Have you ever heard of anybody blowing smoke? Basically, that's what the scripture lawyers do. And a lot of people get sucked in by allowing their little old minds to get sidetracked away from God's Word. "As the smoke of a great furnace, and the sun and the air were darkened by reason of the smoke of the pit." What it is, that's symbolic of the returning of Christ when the sun is darkened and the moon doesn't reflect its light. Only it's just smoke, right? "And there," verse 3, "and there came out of the smoke locusts upon the earth, and unto them was given power, as the scorpions of the earth have power." In other words, they can hurt people. And we're not going into, you're all familiar with this. You know these are the locusts of the book of Joel, which came out on Pentecost Day. It's what Peter was talking about when both the sons and the daughters stood and the Holy Spirit spoke through them. Verse 4, "And it was commanded them that they should not hurt the grass of the earth, letting the wise one with knowledge," having the key of knowledge, so no, we're not talking about locusts, because they eat grass and vegetation, "neither any green thing, neither any tree, but only those men which have not the seal of God in their forehead." So, what is the seal of God in your forehead? Is having the key of knowledge. What's up here in your forehead? Your brain, your thought process, your memory. I've seen people that have 1 megabyte, and I've seen some have 0.5 megabyte, and some, you know, I'm not judging people. I'm just making it funny because I don't want you to get sleepy on me here, okay? Some people have different power plants, I suppose. But anyway, what you have tucked away up here, if it's this simple. Let's say you're walking down the streets of Gravette and some Sharpie comes by and says, "Hey, we got a new one here. We got one here from up north. Let's trim him. Let's pluck him." You know? Now, our people, as long as it isn't the people I forementioned today, that wouldn't happen here in Gravette, okay? They're good people. But you're sharp enough that you're going to say, "What are you up to? That's not going to work with me, friend. Because I have the knowledge to know you're a trickster. You're a fake. A phony." So naturally, when you load this, when you load your hard drive with God's Word, and it is Scripture lawyer proof, you know, a Scripture lawyer, I had a little thought, I'm going to run with it. A Scripture lawyer likes to write these little programs that people like to throw into your computer sometimes if you give them a chance, called a virus, right? And he just loves to throw a little virus into your thinking that will just scramble your thought process. But the seal of God, which is the key of knowledge, will always protect you. Do you know what happens? You see, that order came from God Himself. And do you know what happens if Satan touches one of His elect? I could tell you, quite frankly, exactly what happened. Well, exactly what will happen every time that someone tries to take advantage of one of God's children. Hey, it's not. Let me just say it the way we do in Northwest Arkansas. It ain't going to happen. No way. Because a higher power sees to it. You see, if you're thinking, I didn't say that to you, He did. It's His promise. And it's His order to Satan and his troops. And it's in effect today, and it will be on the day this comes to pass, if you've taken advantage of the key of knowledge and the key to the kingdom, and you're aware of the key to death and hell, and you understand this key to the pit. It opens a lot of things and it closes a lot of things. How well can you discipline yourself to focus on God's Word? Or do you love men's word? I don't know. Judge yourself, because God is certainly judging you, and Satan is certainly judging you, because if he finds a little bitty crack in your thought process where you're confused, he is so slick to try to work his way in with that little old virus. For those that are not familiar with computers, a virus is a very bad thing that some people write a little program that will junk someone's memory and everything else in a computer and destroy it. Satan will do likewise to us. I want to talk about one more gate that you might overlook because of the translation. Just follow on over to the 11th chapter here. This is a key that really isn't written of, but it's called the key of Elijah, so to speak. But it is the Elijah ministry, the ministry that Elijah was given by God in the last chapter of the Old Testament, Malachi, that the hearts of the children would be returned to the Father. And his ministry is very strong and within those two witnesses, and this has to do with the two witnesses and what they have power to do. Verse 6 only, all right? Speaking of the two witnesses, these, and you'll remember how Elijah said, it ain't going to rain. And it didn't, until he said it would. That's how you make the connection. These have power to shut. Now, underline that word shut, because the prime root in the Greek is key, all right? So we're talking about a key. He has the power, the prime root of key. He has the power or the key to shut heaven, that it rain not in the days of their prophecy, and have power over waters to turn them to blood, and to smite the earth with all plagues as often as they will. If you were to turn to the 17th chapter, you'll find out that the waters are peoples. It's simply, there's a lot of symbology in the book of Revelation, but it's very simple when you follow it. They have power to pull on the keys of heaven, and those that have the key to the kingdom of heaven understand what they're talking about. The others, it's going to be a long dry spell, honey, if you're waiting for the latter-day rain that gives you smarts to understand what's taking place in this world. That's part of the ministry. we know that these two then are slaying in the streets of Jerusalem. They won't mind. Because 3 days later, Christ returns, de facto, the seventh trump. So there is a key. It's a very interesting key. Naturally, to anyone that loves prophecy, again, do not let it slip your mind or you'll wonder why I went there. The word shut in the Greek is the prime root of key. Every time key is used. And there you have it. Now, you all know, there you have, if you would, the key to the feeding of the people, the ministering of the people, and so forth. Now, in closing, one more key. Chapter 3 in this same book of Revelation. You're all familiar with this key because we've done a real special study on it called the Key of David, and it is the foundation of all of them because it is the rock that he was speaking of that is unmovable back in the book of Matthew. Okay, now, turn with me there to chapter 3, and we'll pick it up in verse 7. And the angel of the church of Philadelphia, brotherly love, write, these things saith he that is holy, he that is true, he that hath the key of David. So here we have a key of David. Naturally, this is a seed line. It is from Jesse that a branch, a plant, would come. And naturally, that looked forward to Christ, the Savior of all men. This key of David, he that openeth and no man shutteth, and shutteth and no man openeth. Hey, nobody, if you stick with God's Word, His knowledge, nobody can deceive you. Not some scripture lawyer, not some preacher, not some missionary. No one, not even Satan himself. If you'll stick with the simplicity in which he taught that you have the capability of understanding. Why? Because you have the key to knowledge. Having the key to knowledge is the beginning of it, is revering our Heavenly Father. And if you love someone, you can't help reading their letter and studying it. Therefore, you gain the knowledge to never be deceived. So when you unlock something, it means like in a debate, you can't miss. You've got the facts, all right? I know thy works. Behold, I have set before thee an open door, and no man can shut it. For thou hast a little strength, and hast kept my word, that's the knowledge, and has not denied my name, haven't switched trains in the middle of a trip. Behold, I will make them of the synagogue of Satan, which say they are of Judah, and are not, but do lie, meaning Kenites. Behold, I will make them to come and worship before thy feet, and to know that I have loved thee. Why would they come and worship at your feet? Because you're something special? No. But because you are at the feet of Christ. Now some are going to say, well, all those keys were just New Testament. You know, every bit of that was from the New Testament. And it was just written right then. No, it wasn't. There again, if you listen to someone like that, we must go the old book. The old book is all there is. I can teach everything from the old book that I teach from the new. Because it has the same author. You want a key? Isaiah 22:22. That'll be real easy for you to remember. Isaiah 22:22. If it's wrong when we get there, I'm going to be embarrassed indeed. I will be. Am I wrong? I was 4 years ago. Who knows? Isaiah 22:22. Right out of the Torah. And Isaiah 22:22 in closing states, and the key of the house of David will I lay upon his shoulder, so he shall open, and none shall shut, and he shall shut, and none shall open. And of course, that was the prediction of the coming of Christ, having that ring of keys that he would give you access to, that gives you spiritual power to dispense the Word of God to those that need that Word to mature spiritually and mentally, with the ability to spot a phony, I'll say it, Ozark, like 10 miles away. All right? You can. And you can know. Because our Father has given you the key. The key to success, the key to prosperity. A lot of people say, you've got to think prosperity. If you think and have faith in prosperity, you'll prosper. Well, let me tell you the truth about that. Have lots of faith and work hard and be very intelligent, and you shall prosper. That's what God tells you. All right? And you'll be successful. Money will be no problem for you. That's what the keys unlock for you. I'm taking that to a lower level, but be that as it may, it's true. Knowledge is a powerful thing. You see, do I want to say this? Yes, I do. You see, when you arrive at the benchmark in your maturity, whereby you stop being afraid of someone deceiving you, and go on the counter offensive, and use the Word of God to know what tomorrow brings to defeat them in anything they try. In other words, you go on the attack. Now, if you think, the reason I hesitated about saying that could be taken wrong. It could be misunderstood or misconstrued by some. He was saying cheat if you want to. I didn't say cheat at all. Righteousness is a powerful thing. And when you're right, and you are right in God's Word, you can take advantage of Satan's children. I said, that's a benchmark. Hey, if you get there or you've already passed it or whatever, perhaps I would have best left it unsaid. But prosperity is part of God's plan. And you play with the keys. Study them. Absorb them. You'll have no problem. It's that simple. You know why? God loves you. God uses you. He uses some of you, and perhaps you're not even aware of it. Maybe you don't even know it. But practicing what you practice, it was real strange. But in this apology, there was one of these people that was certainly came up to me, and he said, you said something 20 years ago that changed my life, and I had no idea the man ever even listened to me teach. You know what he said? I don't want to go into names because, man, this could get... There was an elderly gentleman married a younger woman out from town here one way or the other. And this elderly gentleman always fixed everything himself. And this woman was from uptown, and she wasn't familiar and comfortable with some of our old house ways here, okay? So she was going to have the old man re-plumb the gas pipes in the bathroom, and he blew that sucker up, all right? I mean, boom! And I got out there with, I was volunteering at that time for, as an EMT because we couldn't afford EMTs, and that's emergency medical technician. And I go out, and poor old Harry, his shirt sticking to him because he's been burned so bad. I said, Harry, John, Tom, Dick, whatever the name was, his glasses, bless his old heart, he had taped them right around here, you know, because they had broken, I guess, and that was, the skin was sticking to that, you know. And he wasn't going anywhere with that woman in his house, all right? And naturally, there's where you start doing counseling and a little psychology, and I got him loaded. He was not going. But anyway, a person that was a fireman said to me, he said, I asked you how, at that time I asked you, how in the world for nothing, for no money, do you go through what you go through with that? And I don't even remember saying this, my friends, but he said, you looked at me and said, all it takes is for one person to come up and thank you for saving their life. And he said to me, that's why all these years I've stuck with doing what I do, volunteering, firemen, ambulance, and so forth. So you see, you never know when God uses you, all right? And I really don't know what that had to do with this, other than God knows and uses His own, all right? So, I think I'm going to quit there. I don't even know what I was leading up to when I got sidetracked there, but that's time to quit. When you said what you got to say, and you've taught the four W's, who, when, what, and where, sit down and shut up. And that's the basic teaching from a professor that was very wise. Heavenly Father, we thank you, Father, for your word. Be with us this day. We ask it in Jesus' precious name. Let these be a blessing to everyone they come in contact, Father. We'll be careful to give you the praise in the name of Jesus. Amen.